Okay, you're welcome back to the 9 till noon show. We welcome onto the programme now this morning former presidential candidate Peter Casey. Peter, thanks for your time. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
How's life treating you?
Very good. Over in America for my youngest daughter's graduation. So.
All right, okay. Now, you have plans to convert an office building into an apartment complex to house Ukrainian refugees in A, Donegal Town. Now, yesterday when I was reading this, I missed out the A and I thought it was in Donegal Town, but it's not. It's in Inishowen. So what are the plans, Peter?
So the plans originally, Greg, were to convert, to extend the existing building, because when Tuzla and HSE moved out, the plan was to actually put apartments, and we put in planning permission for 12 additional apartments on the site. And the idea was that these apartments could be used to help house people who were needing accommodation for having to move out to repair their homes for mica. You know, the council didn't approve the plans for that particular. They wanted that particular application, so that was withdrawn. And so we're putting in an additional changing plans to extend the existing building, so that the council wanted the existing the building to be joined on to the existing building. But that's going to take a couple of years by the time we get the plans through and get the building built, you know. So in the meantime, short term, we looked at what could we do to help, you know, the situation with the Ukrainian people here living in Ireland. And I feel very passionate about Ukraine. You know, I really feel that Putin has to be stopped. And, you know, I actually went over to the border and went to Poland and tried to volunteer when the war started, but they wouldn't let me in because I was over 60. So I really feel that we have a responsibility to try and support the people from Ukraine who have been forced to leave Ukraine.
I'm not going to, I don't want to, because it's not what we like to do, is to pitch one group of individuals against another, Peter. But I mean,
we're
obviously,
I have no problem pitching against Putin.
No, but Peter, I wasn't saying what you do. It was to phrase my next question, because some people listening will say that you are obviously aware of the housing crisis in Inishowen, be it Mike or otherwise, and that why would you not have this accommodation for local people? And I'm only asking the question because that's what some people are thinking at home.
Yeah. This is a short-term solution. We have a very urgent requirement where people are, the minister actually said that Ukrainian people would be sleeping on the streets, that there was no accommodation for them. So that was really what was the motivator and making me feel that, you know, we have to do something short-term. This is a short-term solution. And it's going to be run on a not-for-profit basis. So any profit that gets made out of this operation will be delivered. 50% of it will go to local charities, and the other 50% will go to Ukrainian people who are in Ireland in financial need.
And is it specifically for Ukrainians? So because obviously there are pressures on accommodation. Say, for instance, for you know, migrants, for example, or can you actually determine that this is specifically for Ukrainians?
Absolutely, I can. Yeah, my position is very clear. People who are in Ireland illegally shouldn't be looked after. You know, I mean, if you're here illegally, then you know, apply. You're a queue jumper, and so I don't support people who are in Ireland illegally. I absolutely support people coming in, migrants coming into the country. We need, you know, we need workers, and we need people to come in and obey our laws and respect our laws, but apply properly to come to Ireland, you know. So the people who jump the queue and come on a plane and put their passport down the toilet and they've got no passport when they get off the plane, those people should, I don't believe it's the responsibility of the state to accommodate them.
Do you think that this application might be looked on more favourably because it is to fix a problem that the council have effectively in housing Ukrainian refugees, or will that be a factor?
Well, you know, I think that at the moment Ukrainian people are being housed in hotels, which is devastating our tourist industry, you know, and all of the flow-on economic effects that that has on our economy. So, you know, I think it's important that we, especially coming up to the tourist season now in the summer, it's very important that we have our tourist industry has been looked after, and that our hotels are open and able to accept the people coming from overseas. You know, that's where the economy thrives, you know.
Mm-hmm. And what do you say to local people who have concerns about, a significant increase in the population?
Well, you know, the population of Buncrana typically goes up dramatically during the summer months. Usually, you know, goes up about 3-4 times its normal population, so it can accommodate that. So of that, I don't have an issue with. I think we can absolutely accommodate additional people. And we are going to, you know, we are going to absolutely need additional workers. Whenever this war in Ukraine ends, we're going to need people to help build the 6,000-7,000 mica houses that have been that we haven't even started working on yet. I think we've only really completed about 30 mica houses. So, you know, there's going to be such a huge shortage of labor, accommodate and workers.
When do you think, if all goes to your plans, when do you think you'll start seeing people housed in this premises?
I'd like to see them housed as soon as possible. You know, it doesn't make sense to have a place where people can stay and have it empty. So, you know, I mean, I think it's this. I believe that there are a certain scary people who are saying, you know, racist things, which is really disturbing, and saying that, you know, I'm getting texts from people saying that these people steal our children. Can you believe that? I mean, this actually, I'm getting texts from a person in the locality saying that, you know. I mean, there's absolutely no evidence that Ukrainian people coming into Ireland are creating any crimes over and above the normal rate of crimes that are committed in society. So, you know, there's absolutely no basis for that whatsoever.
How committed are you to this? If say, for instance, there are objections, which I'm sure there might be, and would you go continue through the process with An Bord Pleanála? Are you that committed to it?
Of course. I'm not going to be intimidated by racists in the area, you know. And so I think it's totally wrong for people to stir up and make statements which are totally wrong, you know, and I've made it very clear. This is a not-for-profit operation, you know, and half the profits we will be given to local charities and half will be given to finance Ukrainian.
Can I just say, I know your comments there, you're entitled to feel how you feel, and you're probably making it off the back of some text that you're receiving and what have you, but there are also people out there who have very genuine concerns, and the motivation is concerns over school places, being able to get access to GPs and what have you. And you know, we need to talk to people who have those genuine concerns and to assure them. Not everyone who has a concern, I think, should be described as far right or racist.
I'm not for 1 second saying that anyone who expresses a concern is a racist. I'm just saying there are, I've been getting racist, you know, messages.
Understood.
So, and I totally agree that it's very important that we have the infrastructure to support the healthcare, the education, you know, to support. But that's a decision that the government is making, and the government is responsible for making sure, like, they have a 10 billion euro surplus, you know, over and above the tax receipt from the American company. So a 10 billion surplus. So there's no shortage of funding for the government to put in place the support that is necessary. You know, now I do feel that Ireland has been way over in terms of the number it's taken in, which is great. You know, I mean, we've taken in like 80,000 people, and Britain has taken in, what, 160,000. So, you know, and Britain is, what, 11 times bigger than we are. And, you know, so we've certainly, per capita, we've taken in, you know, a very large number. You know, but these people are here now, and well, they have to be looked after, and they have to be, you know, accommodated and treated with dignity and looked after properly.
All right, two more questions, if you don't mind, Peter. Where are you at in the process? In other words, what are you waiting for planning on? What work would need to be done after that were awarded? And as I say, I know you say people should be able to get in there straight away, but you know, what do you have as a time frame in your mind?
I would like to see it completed as soon as possible because, you know, the problem is immediate. The problem is urgent. You know, we need to start helping get the hotel industry up and working again. And the hotels, you know, can't be accommodating all these people because our tourist industry will go down. So I would like to see it brought about as quickly as possible.
And do you have any agreements in place with the state, like preliminary agreements with the council or the state in terms of them expressing an interest in this accommodation yet?
Yes, we've had discussions. So there is an interest, you know. And as I stress, this is a short term. It's a 2-year project. Hopefully it won't even have to be. Hopefully the war in Ukraine will end. But I think realistically, I can't see it happening. You know, if it ended tomorrow, there would still be a requirement, mm-hmm. You know, and for the foreseeable future, tragically, you know. So,
one very final question. Why are you so passionate about what's happening in Ukraine? Lots of people are, by the way. This isn't a loaded question, but you seem particularly emotionally invested mm-hmm. in what Putin is doing and what is happening in Ukraine. Is there a particular reason for that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you saw the way Putin blackmailed Germany with the oil line. You know, there's no doubt Putin was not going to stop at Kiev. He was going to go all the way down to Odessa and Moldova, free up, inverted commas, Transnistria. He would have ended up controlling 45% of the world's wheat supply, you know, and there's, you know, so I feel that if he had control of 45% of the world's wheat supply, the world would be beholden to Putin, you know, and just the way he turned off the oil supply for Germany, you know, with the pipeline. So I think that Putin is the biggest threat to world peace, without a doubt. And I don't think he was going to, he wants to restore the motherland, inverted commas. And I believe that he would have certainly wanted to take over the whole of Ukraine, Estonia, Latvia, you know, he would want to return them to the motherland as well, no doubt.
All right.
So I just feel that he had to be, we had to stand up to his aggression.
Okay, Peter Casey, thanks for your time this morning and best wishes to your daughter on our graduation. Thank you. Wellness Wednesday coming up very shortly. We're talking to Pete the Vet. Someone had dropped an E in my script and I was calling him Pet the Vet. But anyway, it's Pete the Vet. He's going to have advice for pet owners who wish to travel with their pets. But some of the comments coming in so far as it relates to a lot of our conversations this morning. Hi, Greg. Wondering where you got the number of 400,000 Ukrainian refugees in Italy. I thought I'd said two. It was 170 in January, and I think they took in another 10 or 20,000 since. So it was in and around the 200 mark. And I don't believe, if I said 400, I misspoke because it was 200 was the amount I wished to say. Are you serious, Greg? Italy is over 12 times our population. I wasn't arguing that I simply... All I was saying to Germond was he said he was over in Italy and he didn't see them anywhere. And I simply pointed out that they'd taken in almost 200,000. I never even made a point left or right in relation to that or up or down. Forget left or right. Does this mean that if everyone in Africa or Europe arrived in Ireland looking for asylum, we'd have to take them in? I think it's proportionate to your population. I'm not sure the ins and outs of it. But I'll tell you what's coming down the line very soon, if we're not seeing it already, is environmental refugees, climate refugees, effectively. Parts of the world are going to become uninhabitable for one reason or another. And we are just right in the sweet spot in terms of rain and sunshine and what have you. A caller says there's just one hotel in our area and for the past 18 months it's been full with Ukrainian people. It's not their fault, but it looks very bad for the town that the only hotel is closed to the public. That comes in from Bridget, who names the town Bridget, but just to cover myself, I have to double check that. I don't doubt you for a second, but I hope you understand. I 100% agree with Peter on the folk who lose their passports disembarking the airline, but I can't understand how if the government is saying that Ukrainians will be sleeping on the street soon if we can't get accommodation, then why keep bringing the poor folk in? Does not make an ounce of sense. Well, what they've done is through their channels is, and the amount of Ukrainians and refugees generally, I'll get the latest statistics for you. It is slowing down because they all know what's going on. They have the internet and they know what's happening here. And they know in terms of what accommodation is available here compared to elsewhere. So the numbers are slowing already. But I'll get those official figures rather than just say it off the top of my head. Funny, no one had an issue with refugees staying in Bundoran. Now all of a sudden, there's no accommodation in the winter. Sorry, yeah, well, that's understandable because the businesses have an expectation of what they would make in the summer versus the winter. I don't think that's it's a valid point, but I don't think it's surprising. All right, okay. We are going to be joined now, and I think we can say hello to Pete the Vet. Pete, are you there?
I am indeed.
Good morning, Pete the Vet. It's lovely to speak to you. Thank you so much for joining us. Do you think, obviously pet owners are very, very attached to their pets. It's very difficult to leave them behind when travelling abroad on holidays, isn't it, Pete?
Well, for a lot of people, pets are family members. They're like one of us, if you like. And so just as you wouldn't want to leave a spouse behind or one of your children behind, well, they don't want to leave the pets behind either. And formerly, it was very difficult to take your pet with you often. And even now, if you want to take your pet on an airplane, it's quite tricky and it can be quite expensive. But the good news is that because of EU pet passports and because ferry companies like Stenaline have got really good pet-friendly options, it means it's actually now very, very easy and relatively inexpensive to take your pet with you. And if you compare it to the alternative of leaving your dog behind in boarding kennels or whatever, you know, it can make good financial sense too, as well as having the pleasure of the company.
I presume pet owners, and we'll get to some of the options for them. I know you you touched on them there. But presumably, some people don't go on holidays. Some people don't go necessarily where they want to go. And those that do go maybe don't enjoy themselves because their nearest and dearest is not with them. And maybe they've got some guilt for leaving them in a kennel or something along those lines. So, I mean, pet owners would understand the emotional challenges of holidaying without their pets.
Yeah, well, a survey by Stenaline showed that 95% of dog owners say their dog needs are important to them when they're planning a holiday. 95%. That's nearly all dog owners. They're worried about what's going to happen with their pet when they go away. So that's a really big chunk of people. Now, I have to say, just in Ireland, something like over 50% of households are pet owners now. So, you know, there's a lot of people out there who don't have pets who'll be saying, what's this all about? Mm. They won't really get it. But if you're a pet owner yourself, you will understand. You will understand that you thoroughly enjoy your pet's company. They're good for your mental health. They're good for your routines. And you want to have them with you.
So, Pete, realistically, as I say, you mentioned this a little earlier on. I've never seen a dog on a plane. Can you go on your holiday to the south of France or Portugal or Tenerife and bring your dog on or cat on a plane?
You can do it. I think in Ireland in particular, we're not very good at enabling that. If you go to North America, you'll find in the States they have all sorts of pets in the airport. And you'll even see things like pet toilets, especially for pets in the airports, because they're so familiar with it. In Ireland, we're much more slow to adapt to that. And pets on the aeroplane are seen as more of a nuisance than something that's been welcomed. And they will nearly always have to go into the hold rather than in the cabin. Mm. And for a lot of pet owners, that's a deal breaker. So going by air is tricky. That means Tenerife is tricky. But you can go to Portugal, you can go to Spain, you can go to France by using the sea to travel.
And that's what we're talking about here is that ferry companies obviously are seeing a market here. And they're saying this is an extra string to their bow. Why not choose the ferry?
Well, that's exactly it. And I mean, you could say that they've seen the market there. I would put it slightly differently. I'd say they've been listening to their customers, and their customers have been saying to them, look, we want to have our pets close to us. We don't want them just in the car, in the area where the cars are parked. We don't want to leave them there where there'll be the noise of the clunking of machinery and the sound of the sea. We don't want to do that for them. We want to have better alternatives to that. So that's why people like Stenaline have got new options. And the new options include things like pet-friendly cabins. So you can actually, your beds are there, but so is there space for your pets. And there's like little water bottles for your pets. It's all been customized to make it as ideal for pets as possible. And that's one option. Another option is what they call pet lodges, and they're a bit like glorified dog kennels, but they work really well. So, you know, you can have your dog actually in a kennel, but up on the decks with you. Mm. So you can spend some time going up to them and engaging with them and all that sort of stuff.
So if you do, Pete, decide to use that option, you do actually have to get a pet passport separate to, whatever offerings Stena Line, et cetera, have. How do you get a pet passport?
Well, that's got much easier in recent times. And we really have it down to fine art now, thanks to the EU. So basically what you need to do is you need to take your dog or your cat into your local vet. You need to make sure they've got a microchip in them, and you've got to get a rabies vaccination given to them. And once you've done that, then the vet can enter that onto the pet passport and give you the document. You have to wait for 3 weeks for the vaccine to kick in, and then you're good to go. And the vaccine lasts for 3 years, so you can come and go as often as you want to the UK or indeed to anywhere in the EU. So that side of it is very easy. There's a little bit of a catch in the documents that also, before you come back to Ireland, you have to go to a vet in the country you're visiting to get a certified tapeworm dose given to your pet, because there are some tapeworms in Europe we don't want to have in Ireland. So you have to get that done and certified before you come back. But that's really it. It's actually very, very simple now. And over on the continent, you'll find that there are lots of good facilities for pets. They're much more adapted to including pets in people's lives. In France, for example, you can be in a restaurant and have your pet in your lap eating from the same table as you. I think we think that's crazy, but that's what they do over there, and it's part of the culture. So it's quite fun to be away with your pet in that kind of environment.
All right, Pete. Listen, I was a little late coming to you, but I appreciate your time. If people want more information from you, where can they find Pete the Vet on socials or on the web?
Well, Pete the Vet is the phrase to use. So you can find me as Pete the Vet on Facebook, on Twitter, and at PeteTheVet.com.
Okay. Listen, happy petting and travelling and all that. Thanks very much, Pete. All right, that was Pete the Vet there. I'm not a dog owner, so I'm in the category if it sounds like a whole handling. But anyway, we appreciate Pete's time. Have you holiday with your pet? Do you holiday with your pet? Do you not holiday because you can't take your pet? Let me know, 086 60 25,000. As I say, and I make no judgment on this whatsoever, their relationship with their pet, particularly their dogs, I think, is that equivalent, if not stronger, than they might have with a human. So maybe they say, look, I'm not going on holidays, I'm staying with my pet. You're in a judgment-free zone here. Let us know. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApps and text. The government sending refugees to the county that has possibly the worst facilities and infrastructure in Ireland looks like bad planning, in my opinion. Italy is possibly over 10 times the population of the Republic of Ireland, also has decent infrastructure. Again, I just... I'll tell you where I was thinking even when I said that. I wasn't even thinking about how many refugees versus how many people are in a country. I don't even know how that relationship impacts one way or other. Presumably it's about the availability of services. Peter doesn't care about Micah. He's doing this to spite the neighbours. I don't know. Greg, are the apartments only for Ukrainians? No Irish need apply. He's building them for Ukrainian refugees. And he says it's a short-term measure. Then they would be available more generally. But he said that two or three times. It's happening all over the country. Lack of beds in all the popular tourist areas. It's not just Bundoran. The man is right. A lot of them see Ireland as a soft touch. We in Donegal have met, and I can think of five areas just off the top of my head that I would know of, and I'm not saying the list is exhausted at five, whereby all or at least half or very close to it of beds are not going to be available for this summer. Now, if you have a calf or a newsagent opposite a hotel, and this was flagged right at the very beginning of all of this, if you might remember, when the decision was made in Letterkenny, I was concerned about the trickle-down economy and the impact this would have. But anyway, far more hotels are taken up now. It obviously is going to have a huge impact on other businesses. 600 football teams coming for the Foyle Cup this year with no accommodation available for them. That will ruin that competition this year, believes that listener. And still they continue to come in. Thank you so much for it. And different views, people on all sides of the argument, different sides of the argument. And maybe we're changing people's views one way or other on the way. I don't know. but it's important that everyone feels that they can have a say. We all know that it's who you know that gets things done in this country. No argument. Problem is, they get away with it. Corruption is no real penalty in this country. They maybe step down, lose their position, etc., but no loss of job, loss of pension, no jail time, no financial loss. They have no fear. In fact, they often move on to better positions in the private companies or the EU. Iceland had the right idea. Good morning, Greg. They make it rain once a week in Dubai. You had a man on a few years ago who said for 100 grand they can make the sun shine. Ever notice on a royal wedding it never rains? They then have cloud-making machines. Now need to do some research, Greg, instead of downplaying what people say. I'm not downplaying what people say at all. I've actually did an interview with someone as it relates to rain creation. What the person was saying earlier on is that planes are flying over Ireland for some nefarious reasons. If that's the case, come on, let me know. I'm not questioning it. Don't shoot people for asking questions. That's what's wrong with this world nowadays. What is happening with chemtrails? What's the plan? Who's behind it? What are they doing? What are they pumping out? Or is it just when we talk about chemtrails, are we actually just talking about the exhaust fumes and the fact that it blocks the sun? Or are we talking about climate engineering? Let me know what people are saying. 086 60 25,000.
Business Matters, in association with the ATU Donegal Faculty of Business. Are you a senior manager in the private sector looking to reinforce your leadership skills? ATU are offering a Level 9 Executive MBS in Leadership and Innovation based around action learning, starting late April. Take the next step in your career and contact the Exec Ed Coordinator on 91 86 206 today. Or email donald.hannigan@atu.ie.
Okay, that means it's time for us to preview the Business Matters podcast from Highland Radio. It's available for you right now, available for you to listen at your leisure on our website, on Spotify and iTunes as well. And we'll talk about how you can listen to it on the radio a little later on. Its presenter, of course, is Kieran O'Donnell, and he's in studio with us now. Kieran, thanks for joining us. Good news for Donegal Restaurant here.
The Key West Restaurant in Donegal Town has been shortlisted for a national award by Yes Chef magazine's Mystery Shoppers, and the national awards will be announced next month, May. So Yes Chef is known as the magazine for lovers of good food and was established by Shane Smith in 2007.
And would you believe Key West Restaurant, beautiful, and we have Joe Daly on the show regularly, and I've never been in there, would you believe that?
Yeah, I was on once.
But I hear amazing things sitting, about it.
And I suppose, look, the one thing I was keen to sort of include this week, Greg, was I suppose we spoke to Joe on a couple of occasions during the pandemic, and I suppose it was a really trying time. So it's great that time is behind him now and that we're reporting good news on her behalf.
Yeah, for sure. News of an action plan for Inish Owen now.
Yeah, an action plan that aims to create a decarbonised and more sustainable Inish Owen will be launched tomorrow evening at the Ballyliffin Lodge Hotel. The plan was drawn up by the Inish Owen Sustainable Energy Community, also known as ISEC, and has been described as a game changer for the peninsula. The keynote speaker on the night will be Claire Irwin of Irwin Consulting, and she is the quantity surveyor on RTE's Room to Improve.
All right, so good news for Tata Consultancy Services.
Yeah, Letterkenny-based Tata Consultancy Services, also known as TCS, has been awarded the Investors in Diversity Bronze Accreditation by the Irish Centre for Diversity. This award is among Ireland's premier diversity and inclusion accreditation marks and independently affirms TCS's commitment to supporting and putting in place effective D&I policies. So it's been operating in Ireland since 2001, and TCS services cover 28 global and local clients from its Dublin headquarters and global delivery centre here in Letterkenny.
Yeah, it's impressive. As is Glenveagh National Park. I was a late adopter to it. You know, I hadn't been out there for ever, really. And then, obviously, I've made numerous visits in the last couple of years, maybe promoted and triggered by us not being able to do anything. But facilities are improving all the while.
Yeah, a new parking area, Greg, with 60 extra spaces has been opened at Glenveagh National Park. And that brings the number of spaces to a total of 280. Parking, as you say, well, as we have discussed before, has become an issue in recent years at Rookley and Vay, and I suppose this is a welcome development. And just as a side for that, you mentioned that you get out and about there. If you're not up for walking or running, Grassroots, a local company, they provide electric and hybrid bikes for hire, and they will be open for business over the bank holiday weekend.
Yeah, and also to a mention of the staff out there, because I think sometimes the people that make the experience are those that will work in there. And I always found the guys on the buses particularly friendly and engaging and accommodating. And that's as a local, so I'm sure the tourists really appreciate it.
I've had that experience as well, Greg.
Yeah, so fair play to them, because as I say, they are really...
It gives you a feel-good experience, and it encourages people to come back, and I'm sure there's a lot of repeat business out there and a lot of repeat visitors.
Yeah. So, you know, any facility or business is the sum of its people, and fair play to Grassroots too for what they're doing as well. And I see a few companies opening up, offering e-bike rental, hybrid bike rental, cycling rental. Yeah. It's going to be a big business, I think, in our more popular
areas.
That's
been written out there this last number of years.
Yeah, but others elsewhere, sorry, Kieran.
Yeah, so look, it's good. And that's part of the Terman and Craven Centre as well. So good to see that developing as well, that part of the business.
Okay, a new website's been launched. What's this about?
Yeah, the launch of a new website featuring businesses and tourist attractions in Donegal will be hosted by Mulroy Drive on Wednesday next. That's May the 3rd in Lowe's of Cranford. Paddy Lowe was in touch with me to let businesses in the area know that there is still time for them to be included in a brochure that will promote tourism and visitor attractions as a sort of an extension of the website. So those looking to be part of that publication have a few weeks to get in there. They can contact Ryan at Innes Media, and his telephone number is 085 888 531.
And this is like a one-stop shop, is it, Kieran, for tourists for that greater, wider area? Because people might find certain little spots in that catchment area a mention, but there's so much to be offered on both sides of the bridge and all around, presumably. Yeah.
So they're extending that invitation for anybody that's from the Rakinney, the far side, the other side of the Rakinney, and that's around the area, on down towards that Atlantic Drive we were talking about. If they want to be part of that experience and part of that route, feel free to contact them.
Brilliant stuff. Okay, right. That's a look through some of the news then. What's coming up on this week's podcast, Kieran?
Yeah, Greg. On this week's show, I talked to the owner of the Wheelhouse Cafe in Burtonport, John Reilly. 14 people are employed at the Wheelhouse, and John is set to create 4 new jobs when his glamping site, which will accommodate 9 pods, opens in June. John moved from Scotland to Burtonport as a 10-year-old in 1976 and became a full-time fisherman at the age of 16. He began working for the late Kevin McHugh from Killybegs in 1993 and skippered the New Veronica and Atlantic Dawn fishing vessels. John has recently returned from his latest fishing trip off the coast of Oman in the Arabian Sea. And during our conversation, I asked John what his hopes are for his business.
I hope the business can enhance Burtonport. You know, it's some people will look at it and say that you're trying to make money, millions out of it. You're not trying to make millions, you're just trying to run a business and keep your head above water. And I hope that we can bring local people to the area. Like, let's not forget that if people come to stay with me or somewhere close by, they'll go down to the local bar for a drink, they'll go on the ferry, they'll go up to Dunloe and do a bit of shopping, they'll go to the petrol. So everybody's going to make a turn out of it. And I think if everybody can work together, all the businesses, and I believe that there's a local guy now, he informed me that he's built a new vessel now to do sea safaris. So, you know, if I work with him and he works with us and everybody, you know, I think I said it 4 years ago, I said 5 years' time, Burtonport will boom. I do think in 2 years' time it will be booming.
Yeah, it's one of my favourite parts of the world, that whole Burtonport, and then by extension, I suppose, Arranmore, though they're two separate entities, don't get me wrong. But, you know, when you're from outside the area, you kind of tie them in. What a pivot, too, from being the skipper of the New Veronica and Atlantic Dawn and still involved in that side of the business, but then to be opening up a to be opening up a coffee shop and such a great employer too in that area. It's a cracking story, which I'm setting up for you to say, really. That's all covered in the podcast, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. What you say? John is a very laid-back character, a very perishable fella, and he hasn't got a spare minute. So I was trying to ask him, what does he do to sort of unwind? But yeah, obviously, between fishing and getting the wheelhouse up and running, and he only started the glamping site at the start of January. It's going to be finished, all things going well, for the bank holiday Monday, or bank holiday weekend in June. That work's been carried out by a man called John Hamm, a local man getting local employment. Dennis Bonner, a local architect, did the plans. 14 people employed in the wheelhouse, 4 more at least. So if you take, and himself, that's the guts of almost 20 jobs in a small area like Burton Port, which is a great catalyst for maybe new things to happen. One line he did say to me during a conversation, Greg, he said, when the fishing died, the village died. And I was thinking about it when I came back up the road. I suppose if tourism is coming alive again, that's going to breathe new life into the town as well. So maybe the town will come and the village will come alive as a result of tourism coming alive in the area.
All right. The full interview with John Riley is available to download now at highlandradio.com or on Spotify or iTunes. And the show's broadcast on air as well, Kieran, of course.
Yeah, after the 6 o'clock news on Sunday evening.
This coming Sunday. And if anyone wants to get in touch with you...
Yeah, just drop me an email, please. businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Okay, Kieran, thank you very much indeed. Already looking forward to having you in next Wednesday. Kieran O'Donnell there. That podcast live right now on our website, highlandradio.com. We're joined now on the programme by Michael, who's very concerned about a family member, I think. Good morning to you. Thanks for joining me, Michael.
Good morning, Craig. How are you?
I'm all right. What situation are you going through? Is this... it is a family member, is it?
Yes, yeah, my mother, Craig. She's 2 weeks post-surgery for... she had lung cancer and she's went to Dublin. She's had... Initially, she had part of her lung removed, and then she's had the rest of her lung removed. And she's been in poor sort of health last while anyway. And last week, she went to Letterkenny, and she was in A&E with my father for 12 hours and not seen. And then she ended up having to sign herself out. She's very weak. She's doing a lot of sleeping. So you can imagine what that put her through. And then just today, she's up, taken by ambulance again, and she's currently still sitting in an ambulance outside of Letterkenny Hospital, waiting to get admitted to the hospital. And I don't want the same thing what happened to her last week to happen again, where she's 12, 14 hours down the road, and maybe nothing happened, because she's in a lot of pain now this morning. And hopefully, I don't know, maybe she might be able to get seen.
No, it's very, 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 very tough on her, but it's equally tough on you because you're helpless and it's your mother and you want nothing but good for her. How long has she been in the ambulance now, as far as we're aware, Michael?
Well, she went in about 8 o'clock this morning, but she's, you know, the ambulance staff have been very good and all the rest, and, you know, the health staff in general are very good, but their hands are tied. My sister's been on to... I suppose the HSE, she's been looking up guidelines, and apparently from the 2nd of March, anybody with it's a cancer patient should be able to be admitted to the oncology department or at least see a nurse associated with the oncology department. And Letterkenny are failing to adhere to this at the minute. And, you know, it's hence why my mother's still sitting out in an ambulance.
Yeah, so she doesn't need really to be sitting in ED and to be triaged. The hope is that she'd get straight into the oncology ward.
Yeah, policy that's apparently come out with apparently bypasses any sort of case and, you know, having to sit in ED and put them through what they went through last Tuesday. You know, 12 hours is obviously too long for anybody if you're having all of your health.
Right, okay. Well, Michael, I'm terribly sorry for what she's going through. We'll make our inquiries. Hopefully she gets in and gets cared for as soon as possible, for her primarily, of course, but for you and the rest of the family who I'm sure are very distressed by all of this. I wish we were talking under different circumstances, but thanks for your time this morning.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, God bless you and best wishes to your mother. Right, okay. Lots of people in and around Donegal Town. It's going to be a huge catchment area. Our clearly going to be disappointed with the news that the cinema in Donegal Town, the project is finished, effectively, unless Lidl decide to build a cinema, which I'm sure they're not. Regular listeners to this show will know that we were platforming people and their concerns and pressuring Donegal County Council to make certain changes that would allow this to progress. But seemingly now it's all in vain. Padraig Kennedy's the mayor of Donegal Town. Padraig, disappointing to learn that this cinema is not going in on this site now. It's sad news.
Good morning, Greg, and your listeners. Sadness and frustration again. The people at Donegal seem to be let down. I mean, we've been trying to get in touch with the developer, but no reply back. But the word is that Lidl have it bought.
Well, I can tell you, that Lidl have bought that site.
Oh, they've confirmed it.
Well, I know it's been, but Lidl own that site now, so it's not that there's concerns about that, it is the case.
It's another letdown for the people of Donegal again, and the promise for the people and the kids and our visitors and the people in the surrounding areas, you know, that here we are and the people of Donegal come together in support of the developer to get it over the line and give something to the community that we should have, and no more than an or-like centre. We sorely regret not having one of them in the county or in our area, and just for the people and the kids, these services that need to be there for the people. And like Donegal is kind of the jewel of the Wild Atlantic Way, and Donegal Town is kind of the heart to go through to go to these places, and with some great hotels and restaurants and bars, and you know, for families and people visiting, these need to be there.
There's great, stuff there, but look, at the end of the day, not everyone likes to drink. Not everyone wants to sit in a pub. If you're holidaying in the Donegal Town area, you can drop the young ones, age appropriate, of course, off to a cinema that occupies them for 3 or 4 hours, and everything's not drink focused. But these pubs are dashed. And look, at the end of the day, too, people's circumstances change. Don't know the reasons behind this. I'm sure the plans were very well intentioned, but as I say, people's lives and circumstances and what have you change, and there's a massive increase in building costs and whatever the reasons might be, we don't know. But every individual has the right to change their plans if they so wish, or any company. Sorry. So what do we do next then? So in terms of increasing these types of facilities for the area, can we rely on the private sector? Does the state, the council need to get involved?
I mean, there last week the primary care centre opened up, and we're so welcome to the development of that. And like, there's 5 housing developments in Donegal Town taking place at the minute. Like, so the council and the planners and all put these developers through hoops. Now, part of the plan or whatever the development should be, is there facilities for the families, like leisure and entertainment and sports. Like, we have been neglected again in Donegal Town. We have no cinema, we have no swimming pool. We rely on the goodwill of the hotels, but when they get busy in the summer, they need their.
So, do you think then, for planning permissions, Padraig, there should be some sort of a levy or condition that maybe, if it's obviously, it would have to be a really significant development, that the provision of something like a cinema or a swimming pool should form part of the planning?
Absolutely, or that they have to contribute. Do we call on the Minister of Health and the Minister of Sport and the Minister of Entertainment to provide these? Because, if you have people using these facilities, they're putting less of demand on the health system. And like poor Michael and his mother there, the demand. If people have these facilities, it's good for the mind, good for the body, and good for, everything. And like, we have to look at that. And I know swimming pools are going to say they don't pay, but sure, we have such modern technology with wind and and solar and all that.
There's a massive campaign to get the swimming pool reopened in Buncrana. The council are involved in that, right? We covered for years to get a swimming pool in the Finn Valley area. Ballyshannon, obviously, they had to campaign to get the provision of services there. There's no reason why Donegal Town should not get the same type of attention as other areas of the county do. We shouldn't have to, or people of the area shouldn't have to beg cap in hand. Do you know what I mean? These things should be top of local electoral area meetings, saying what about some services for this, which is, as I say, it is Donegal Town, but it's got a huge catchment area that goes out as far as Kilcar and up as far as Ballybuffet and out as far as Pettigoe and further south. Yeah.
And the same too, Greg, you covered it too about the library, the planned development of the library, and that was going to be a digital hub as well, tied in with the library, and there's no sign of it neither. You know, there was great promises of all these things, like we have politicians in the area, and we have a sitting TD not far away from the town, and why are we not getting it? Like, and once again, we're probably going to have to rely on the people to come together and I know back the plan and the intention was good, and as you say, conditions since COVID came, maybe the idea of a 5-screen cinema is not, maybe it's a 3-screen cinema, maybe it's to do with outdoor leisure as well as swimming pool. Maybe you have to tie all together and make a complex with
I'll tell you what we have to do. We have to go now because it's the end of the programme, but we'll definitely maybe tease it out with a panel in the future as to how these types of facilities can be developed in the town down the line. But for now, thank you very much for your time, Parag. I'm sorry to cut you short. I really am.
Oh, no bother.
Parag Kennedy, Mayor of Donegal Town there. See you tomorrow at 9:00.